Luke chapter 4, stand with me please. Let's begin reading in verse 1, just a few verses here. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, if you're going to talk to the devil, you better use Scripture.
Amen.
You better, if you're going to try to reason and argue with the devil, you better use God's word. Because your word means nothing to him. Verse 5, the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Interesting statement there. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. It's written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it's written. Now look, now the devil's saying it's written. Folks, look, listen to me real quick. He knows what's written.
That's right.
Way better than you do.
That's right.
Way better than we do. He knows what's written. And he's using Scripture now in verse 10. It is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. That's in Psalm 91. It is written. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was stumped. No. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is said. Isn't that interesting? Who said that? God. In other words, the written word of God is just as powerful as the spoken word of God. It's still the word of God.
That's right.
Say, well, this is just word. No, this is the word of God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that? The devil has departed from me, at least for a season. Now, one day it'll be permanent, absolutely. But in this world, it's nice to have a day where you say, you know, I think the devil's finally departed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, some things never change. Some things never change. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Father, our God, our Creator, our Savior, our Sustainer, our Maker, our King, our Righteousness, hallowed be Thy name. Lord, we are so unworthy, unable. Oh God, we humble ourselves before you now at this minute. I pray for all of my brethren here, brothers and sisters in Christ, on purpose in church this morning on a Sunday morning, a new month, a new day, a new week. Lord, we have so much to look forward to, so many blessings await us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that there's a thief trying to steal them away, trying to take them away. Lord, I pray you'd help your people today to listen, sit up and turn off all the distractions and listen. Give me words. Fill me with your Spirit, please. I pray. I need your help, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Some things never change. You'll notice in verse 5, the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Time in heaven, time in eternity is nothing like time as we know it. God has no time.
That's right.
God has no beginning. He has no end. He is the beginning. He is the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's infinite. He's eternal. And 1,000 years to him is like a day, and the day is 1,000 years. There's no time like we know it. But in our concept of time, what we have in order to help us see how things work is God's Word.
Amen.
We have this in the beginning, God.
Yeah.
Well, what beginning was that? That was our beginning, not God's beginning.
Right.
In the beginning of our world as we know it, God was already there, self-sustaining, self-contained. He needs not anything. He's God, but he chose to create you and me, and then from his word, he has chosen to help us understand, and what I'm going to try to get across to you this morning is that some things never change. Now, we know right off the bat, I hope you know this, that God never changes. Okay? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Those are his own words. I change not.
Amen.
And we know that he is faithful. He's every morning, every day, every night, every year, every century. He will never change. Now, some things, God, but there's also this thing of Satan. Now, I want you to understand something. This will change one day, but it has not changed yet.
Right.
Okay? I want you to understand the methods, the devices that the devil uses in order. Now, what does the devil really want from you and me? What does the devil really want from God's children? After all, this is the only begotten Son of God, the first fruits, amen, of God's salvation. You and me have come along later because we are trusting in Christ. We are born of the seed of the incorruptible Word of God, amen. Jesus is the living Word of God. Here we are today. We are fruits. We belong to God, and we owe everything to Him through Christ Jesus. Now, but we are the sons of God. We are children of God. But here's the devil working on the only begotten Son, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something today? He still works the exact same way.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get across to you today. God hasn't changed, Jesus hasn't changed, and neither has this method of temptation. The way that the devil works in God's people.
Yeah.
I want you to notice verse 1 says Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Why was he full of the Holy Ghost? Because he just got baptized, and baptism is God's will for all of God's people.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, the baptism doesn't fill us with the Holy Ghost. That's not what I said. But in order to be filled, in order to be right with God, we have to be obedient to the commandment, the ordinance of baptism.
Amen.
If you've never been scripturally baptized, then, dearly beloved, you are in direct disobedience to the Word of God.
Amen.
And you will never understand what it means to be full of the Holy Ghost because you are in direct disobedience.
Right.
You will live with a guilty conscience.
Yep. Yep.
He was filled with the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, notice, was led by the Spirit, capital S, that's God's Spirit, into the wilderness. Sometimes, folks, listen now, God leads his children into the wilderness to teach us a few things.
Yep.
That hasn't changed. These things haven't changed, okay? I'm talking about some things that have not changed. Now, we don't have to worry about the temptation when we get to heaven. We don't have to worry about the devil when we get to heaven. You understand? But in this life as we know it, as long as we dwell in this weak, rotten flesh, these things are still going to be the same.
Right.
Yep.
We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can be right with God. We can be on fire for God. And matter of fact, the more on fire for God you are, the more likely it is that you're going to be tested, that you're going to be tempted to sin. Now, 40 days in the Bible is the sign, or 40 is the number of testing, of temptations. He was 40 days tempted in verse 2 of the devil. Now, we understand that this was Lucifer. This was Satan. This was not some little devil, so to speak. This was the devil himself. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was facing the devil himself, Lucifer, the fallen angel of heaven. But this now was a temptation for 40 days. In those days, he did eat nothing, verse 2. Now, it's not necessarily necessary for you to not eat anything when you're being tempted. But the point is this. The problem that we have is our flesh. The problem that we have, the reason that temptations appeal to us is because of our flesh. The Spirit of God cannot be tempted to sin. He cannot sin. It's not possible that He sin. He's God. But you and me have this flesh, and the reason we're tempted is because of our flesh. You see, the spirit and the flesh are direct, fierce enemies. What we have here in this picture in the wilderness is a type, if you will, of the flesh. The devil is the father of the sinful flesh, by the way. He lied to Eve. He deceived the woman. She ate of the fruit. She gave it to her husband, and they fell into sin. And now all he does is use the same tactics, is what I'm trying to get you to see today. He uses the same tactics appealing to our flesh. Because he's the father of that sinful flesh, because he's the one that started it in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
With a lie.
Yep. That's right.
Amen. Absolutely.
That hasn't changed either. But that's not the message. In those days, he did eat nothing. Our flesh is the reason we're so weak in temptation. But when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil began to tempt him. Now, we don't know exactly what he tempted him with for 40, because the Bible says for 40 days he was tempted. But we know three very specific things. And I believe God saves or preserves these for us in the Scripture for a very specific reason.
Yeah.
Verse 3, the devil said unto him, let me stop right there. The devil still speak? Not in audible voices like some movies might tell you. But I guarantee you, listen now, he still speaks through other people.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
The devil's speaking to me. Well, you may not recognize him as the devil.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, brother preacher. That's right.
And by the way, this hasn't changed.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
The devil spoke to him, and the first word out of his mouth was if. If. Can I say to you, that's what he said in the Garden of Eden. That's what he says today. He questions everything in the Bible.
Yeah,
that's how every temptation starts. When you start to question anything, anything. Every word of God is P-U-R-E, pure.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Every single word.
Amen.
You don't believe that, then you're in big trouble.
That's right.
You're easy prey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But every word of God is P-U-R-E, pure.
That's right.
Undefiled, straight from God. But if you start to doubt one of them, Satan has his radar screen.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Amen.
And here's a doubter. Go get her. Go get him. If is not a good word for you to use when it comes to the Son of God.
Amen.
If is not a good word to you when it comes to the Bible. Satan's tactics have not changed. If that book is real, if that God is real, if. He says, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made into bread. Now listen to me. There's no sin in eating bread.
Amen.
Pay attention. There's no sin in eating bread. There's no sin in eating a piece of fruit off a tree.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
Except it wasn't what God wanted.
That's right.
It wasn't time.
Yeah.
It wasn't God's will.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? I've been preaching on this for a long time. I still don't think many people understand it. God's will is what's right for you.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
And if you know God's will and you do something else, to you it is sin.
Yeah.
To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Yep.
Amen.
If God, if you're the Son of God. Now, there's no sin in eating a piece of bread. It may not be good for you. It may all these other health, this and that, but it's not a sin. Unless God says not right now. Unless God says no. And now Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Here's, again, I want you to understand something. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Don't turn over there. Just listen. The Bible says, all that is in the world, A-double-L, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Yeah.
In the world, without Christ, outside of this book, and Christ in you, righteousness of God in you, is nothing but lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Yeah.
Now, in these temptations here, we're going to see in a very clear and concise way that this is the same thing that Satan is still using to tempt us today.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Number one is the lust of the flesh.
Yep.
Turn these stones into bread. Why? So you can eat. Because your flesh desires it. It wasn't time for him to stop fasting. It wasn't time for him to start eating. The flesh that Jesus had was not sinful, yet the Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. So what we have to understand is he did understand everything we're going through because he's been tempted, and God plainly spells it out for us right here. He was tempted in every way. The lust of the flesh was the first way.
Right.
You're hungry, eat. You have the power to eat. You have the power to make these stones bread. You have the power to fix this problem. You can change this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, after all, he's real hungry. He's in the wilderness, and he's hungry. It's not appealing to his flesh. It's not comfortable. It's not cozy. It goes against his flesh. If you've ever fasted for any amount of time, one meal and you'll think you're dying.
Amen.
I mean, you'll think you're dying. One meal and you'll think, I'm going to die. No, you're not. But your flesh will tell you you are.
Yeah.
Your flesh will tell you you're going to die.
Yeah, right.
But see, it goes against the flesh. It rubs against the natural, because the lust of the flesh is, I want to be comfortable. I want to have everything I need, everything I want. I want this. I want this, Mommy. Come on, I'm making light of it, but the fact is, it's true. When we don't have something that the flesh wants, and the minute we start wanting it, when God says no, here he comes.
Yep.
Well, just fix it. Just fix it. Just go do it. I mean, that's what you want. That's what will make you feel better. Go do it.
Yeah.
I want you to understand something. This is Jesus. We're not going to turn back to the Old Testament, but remember, the point of this is some things haven't changed. They never will change as long as we're in this world.
Amen.
Go back to the Old Testament to a man in your mind, and if you don't know who it is, I'll tell you. His name is Esau. He'd been out hunting all day in the field. The field is a picture of the world, by the way. The fields are white already into harvest. Picture of the world. He'd been out in the field all day long, and he was weary. Can I tell you something? You spend your life in the world, yeah, you're going to be weary.
Right.
It's never going to make you happy. Never going to fulfill your heart's desires. It's never going to do anything but leave you empty and broken. He'd been out in the field all day. He came in. He was starving. He was hungry, and he smelled something. And he went into the kitchen, and there was Jacob with a bowl of beans, probably chili, barbecue. Barbecue chili. You can have barbecue. You can put barbecue on anything. Here's the thing. He said, I need some of your beans. I'm starving to death. I'm going to die if you don't let me. His flesh said, I've got to eat or I'm going to die. Jacob said, okay, sell me your birthright. What's a birthright, preacher? The blessings of God.
That's right.
Listen now, but wait a minute. You don't get them right then and there. You don't get them until their father dies.
That's right.
So you, the here and the now, there was nothing for Esau but hunger. The here and the now, there was nothing for Esau, but his poor flesh was dying. And Jacob said, give me your birthright here. I'll trade you your birthright for these beans. And Esau thought, well, I mean, after all, I'm really hungry. My flesh wants this. This is going to make me feel better. And I'm going to trade my birthright. It doesn't do me any good right now. My birthright's not going to feed me right now. So, yes, of course, take the birthright, whatever. Just make my flesh feel better.
Yep, come on.
Right.
And you're done.
Yep.
He was done. He lost the birthright forever. He never inherited what God had for him. He never saw the blessings that God had for him. He never, ever became anything but bitter, angry, broke, miserable. He just went deeper and deeper and deeper into sin, and he died that way.
Yeah, that's right.
And it hasn't changed.
Amen.
You say, my flesh doesn't like this. My flesh doesn't want this. I don't feel good. I don't like the way this feels. So I'm going to trade all the blessings of God for this 1 second of pleasure, of fun, of feel good, whatever you want to call it. And Satan is in heaven saying, yeah, I've been doing that for years and years and years, and it hasn't changed. He's doing it to you too.
Yep.
It's what I want. It's what feels good. It's what's going to make me happy. But that's, what does God say about it? Is it God's will?
Yeah, right.
All three.
Esau learned a real hard lesson that day, but you know what? He never got it back. What about grace? What about mercy? Dearly beloved, be not mocked. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. The devil wants you to be deceived, wants you to believe that he's right. See, Satan has a will for you. God has a will for you. What are they really fighting over? Well, whose will are you going to do?
That's right, brother.
Whose will are you going to follow? Well, I'm not following Satan. If you are led about by your feelings, yes, you are.
That's right.
Yes, you are.
Yep.
If this book is not your final authority, instead your flesh and your... Yes, you are following Satan's will.
It's
not new. You're not the first one. You're one of millions.
Yeah.
He's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
My flesh, the lust of the flesh. Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word of God. What do you say? God's will, God's word is what I need more than my flesh. Well, that was, you said that, man, what? But he's Jesus. I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? Jesus didn't do anything but answer Satan with the Bible.
Right.
You can do that.
Right.
Amen.
You can do that.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't try to argue with him and your intellect.
Amen.
Jesus answered. Jesus had the power to say, you know what, Satan? I think I'm going to send you to the bottomless pit now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wait till the 1,000-year reign. Now. And it would have been done.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But why is this in it? Why did he argue? Why did he? Because he's showing you and me how to overcome temptation.
Yeah.
Don't you love Jesus? I do. I mean, he went through this. He didn't have to go through this. He did it for I mean, he's God in the flesh. What's he doing in the wilderness? Fasting, facing the devil for us.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I can't do that. I'm not Jesus. He didn't do anything. He took the word of God and he answered him with the word of God.
Yes.
But that's not how I see it. That's not how I feel. He didn't talk about his feelings. He didn't talk about what he thought. He said, it's written.
Amen.
It's written. The lust of the flesh. He hasn't changed. He's still fighting you in your flesh. The second thing is the lust of the eyes. Verse 5. The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. Boy, I could have all of that. Look what I could have. All I've got to do is worship the devil. Now look in verse 6. I will give thee in the glory and the power, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever, notice, I give. Satan has a will for you. God has, again, I'm just proving it to you, but I want you to see something that he showed him. Verse 5. With his eyes. The lust of the eyes.
Yeah.
He showed him. All the kingdoms of the world. In a blink of an eye. How did he do that? There's a whole lot more power in the devil than what you think. God's given it to him for a certain amount of time. He says it right here. All this power is given unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. You know, you need to be real careful with miracles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but there's miracles going on over there. Who's performing them? Are they drawing people closer to Christ?
Right.
Are they agreeing with this book?
Right.
Oh, but there's miracles. And we just get, oh, my heart goes pitter patter. Look, miracles. Oh, well, okay. What does the Bible say?
Yeah, you
may. Because if I bow down to worship him, I'll have some special power too. But listen now, be careful. He appeals to you with the lust of the eyes. You can see, you can have, you can be powerful. Glory. You can have glory in this world. Wait a minute. Jesus said, it ain't time for that. I came to die on the cross.
Amen.
Listen to me. He said, I'm going to be king one day anyway, dummy. I don't need your power. I'm God.
Right.
Amen.
You can't say that, but Christ in me is God.
Yes.
I don't need your power. I don't need your kingdoms. I don't need your wealth. I don't need your glory. I have Christ in me. I'm not here right now to rule and to reign. I'm here as a witness. I'm here to tell people about Christ. I'm here to tell people about the saving grace of God Almighty. I'm not here to rule and to reign. You can't appeal to me with the stuff this world has to offer, because I have a will of God in heaven. I am here to call by God to do the work of God. I'm not tempted by these things, Satan. Go away from me. That's what he said. Get thee behind me. But he said, get thee behind me, for it is written. It is written.
Amen.
There was a man, again, these things haven't changed. There was a man in the Old Testament named Lot. Lot was a carnal man. By the way, don't miss the fact that Esau was Jacob's twin brother.
Right.
And now we have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Esau's completely removed from that equation. Why? Because he gave in to the lust of his flesh. He lost it. He was right up there equal with Jacob, twin brother, but not equal in his heart. Listen to me, not equal in his heart.
Yeah.
Now we have a man named Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew.
Yeah.
Lot saw the miracles that God did through Abraham. Lot knew what God was doing in Abraham's heart. Lot had been around Abraham long enough to know that Abraham walked with God.
Amen.
Lot knew that this was real, that God was alive, that there was a power in God's word. Lot knew what was going on. Lot was close to Abraham, very like a son. His father had died, and Abraham had pretty much adopted him.
Amen.
And they went, though, however, and there was strife between their herdsmen and all those things. And Abraham said, choose you a land out here and go that way, and I'll go my way.
Yeah.
Now, Lot, the Bible says he looked, and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. Of course, he's thinking about his livestock, his sheep, his cattle, his animals. And he's saying, look out there. That's going to make me rich. There's only one thing, Lot. In order to get that, you've got to go live in Sodom.
Yep.
Sodom. Sodom. Were full of Sodomites? Sodom. Filled with sodomy? Sodom. Don't worry. I'll give you all of those riches that you're dreaming of, that you're looking at with your eye. But don't worry. You just have to go through Sodom
right.
to get them.
Yep.
He said, Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Yep. That's right.
But wait a minute. I'm just going to pitch my tent towards Sodom. I'm not going to live there. I'm going to serve God still. I'm just going to keep my eyes on Sodom. My eyes. Well, No. God, I know Abraham's my uncle, and I know Abraham, and I know, God, you're real and you're alive. I've seen you. I know you're working. But I'm not going to go. I'm not going to be a part of Sodom. I'm just going to pitch my tent facing Sodom, and I'm going to still live for God. And then, as he looked on Sodom every day, he woke up, first thing he saw was Sodom. He went to bed, last thing he saw was Sodom. And every day, and he moved into Sodom. Well, you know, I'm looking at it. I'm so close. I might as well just go into Sodom. I'm just going to get a house there. I'm not going to be like them. I'm just going to live there. I'm just going to, because this tent, after all, is getting uncomfortable. I'm just going to move into Sodom. I'm just going to set up my... I'm just going to take my kids into... But I'm going to raise my kids right. I'm not going to do anything wrong with my kids. I'm just going to... But I'm going to... Because after all, I have to have Sodom if I'm going to have all these well-watered plains that appeal so to my eye. So he kept looking on Sodom. Then he moved into Sodom. Then his children married Sodomites.
Yep.
This is nothing new, folks. It all started with what Satan showed him.
Yeah, amen.
The lust of the eyes.
Yep.
I can have that. I can have money. I can have wealth. I can have riches. I can have all of... Yeah, that's right. You can. Just overlook Sodom. Mm-hmm. Folks, listen to me. Sodom is a picture of the world at its worst.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God says. God says, stay away, because your eye affects your heart.
Yep.
Your eye affects your heart. And what you look at all the time, is going to destroy you. If it's evil, your heart will be filled with evil.
Yep.
But Satan says, don't worry about that. You can have all of these kingdoms. You can have all of this power and glory. And God, Jesus said, no, listen. Just, once you get behind me, Satan, I'm tired of looking at you.
Amen.
That's right.
See, it's written, I'm going to worship the Lord, and I'm only going to serve Him.
Right.
You know, the Bible says I can't serve two masters, right?
That's right?
The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. Now he's using Scripture. Satan knows how to use Scripture and twist it and pervert it. How do you think there's so many cults out there?
Amen.
Listen now, why do you think there's so many churches out there talking about Jesus, yet they don't have a clue what the Bible really says?
Amen.
They have no idea what sound doctrine is. They don't know how to rightly divide it.
Wow.
They've taken two verses and they built a cult on it, and now they call themselves Christians.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because Satan knows how to take this book and twist it and pervert it and make it say what he wants it to say. No, better yet, make it say what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come on. Preach it, brother.
That's right.
Because he's the same old Satan.
Yep.
He says, it's written, God will take care of you. Just throw yourself down off this temple. Now, what in the world? Just do what you want to do. Now, the last thing I talked about in the world is the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Yep.
The pride of life is, I am in charge. It's my life. It's my life, God. And Satan says, yeah, it is your life. You do what you want. If you want to, get up here on top of this temple and throw yourself down and just say, God will take care of me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God will take care of me. God's grace is sufficient. I'll just do what I want to do and God will take care of me. That's pride. And nothing but pride. God didn't make these promises in the Bible for you and me to take whatever we wanted to do and live however we wanted to live and live in sin and live in lust and live in pride and then go to and say, okay, God, now I need you. Please fix this.
Yeah.
That's pride.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
That's pride.
Yep.
It's nothing new, folks. It's been going on a lot longer than you've been alive.
Yeah,
it will go on long after we die until Jesus comes back.
That's right.
Amen.
It's pride. See, what the devil was telling him, said, you know, the scripture says that God will take care of you, so just go do what you want to do. Jump off the temple. Live in sin. Just do it your way. God will take care of you. He's grace. He's mercy. He's love.
Yeah, right.
And he's using scripture to tempt him. Just like this church does, and that church does, and this church, and this church, and that church, and this church, and that church over there. Oh, there's some kind of scripture in there. It must be good.
Yeah, right.
The devil has scripture too, folks.
Uh-huh.
And all he's doing is appealing to our pride.
That's right.
It's your life.
Yeah.
You do what you want. And you think, yeah. It is my life. That's right. I'll live life my way. And you know what? God says, yeah, you can. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's absolutely your choice. But when you get out there and then you want to come claim the promises of God because your sin has got you head first going into the ground. Say, well, God will save me. Where do you find that in the Bible? Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Right.
He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
Yes.
Well, God will forgive me. Oh, yeah, he'll forgive you. Absolutely. I'm saved. I'm going, yeah, you'll go to heaven. But if that's all you think about, then you're in the wrong direction already.
That's right.
See, the temptation is not for you to go to hell if you're saved. You can't go to hell. Jesus was never going to go to hell.
Amen.
None of this was so he would go to hell. What this was Satan's will for his life. Satan's will. You do what the flesh feels like. You do what you see to be best for you. And then you live your life filled with your own pride. You do what you want to do. Don't worry, God will take care of you. That's pride. That's mockery. That's not biblical.
That's right.
Jesus said, no. He said, it is said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means don't go out there and live in sin and then see if God's really going to help you. That's pride. Don't go out there and do things your way and then see if God's really going to fix it. I could take you to so many scriptures, I don't have time. God says, you know what? you've been serving that God. Why don't you let that God fix it for you?
Amen.
Why don't you let them fix it for you? You've been in that world so long. Why don't you let the world fix it for you?
Amen.
God is not mocked.
That's right.
These things have not changed.
Amen.
The lust of the flesh, it feels right. The lust of the eyes, oh, it sure looks good.
Sure.
The pride of life, well, that's my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not new.
Yeah. That's right.
There was a man in the Old Testament named Samson.
Yep.
Samson was called of God. I mean, he was chosen of God to be a judge of Israel. He had a Nazirite vow on his head. He was a set apart, consecrated, sanctified, chosen, choice servant. God gave him such mighty strength. He could kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey.
Yeah.
He could do. God gave him power that, and the Philistines were just, they were spellbound. They couldn't figure out what in the world is going wrong. How do we break this man? He's too powerful for us. And then the devil found a lady named Delilah. And Delilah was just pretty and appealed to his flesh. And she tempted him and questioned him and appealed to his eyes and his flesh. And by the way, all of these things wrapped up into one.
Right.
And then she said, Samson, you don't love me. If you loved me, you would tell me where the secret of your power is.
Yeah.
If you loved me.
Yeah.
And Samson said, okay, sweetheart, I love you. If you cut the hair of my head, because that was the vow, I'll have no power. And see, he was playing games with her. I don't have time to go through the whole story. He had lied to her time and time again. But finally, she got him to the point where he bore his heart.
Yep.
Just cut the locks of my hair, and that's okay. My power will be gone. And the Bible says that she did that. She woke him up. She said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And he woke up, and the Bible says, he thought in his mind, well, I'm just going to shake myself like I have before, and I'm going to overpower these guys. And it says, but he wist not, he knew not, that the Lord had departed from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Departed from him. Yeah. His blessings were gone. His hand of safety was gone. Because Samson played games with God and said, God, I'm going to live my life my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what feels good. I'm going to do what looks good. It's my life. After all, I'm Samson. I'm the judge of all of Israel. And God said, okay, Samson, I'm going to take my hand off your life, and I'm going to show you whose life it is. The Philistines called him that day. Listen now. They plucked his eyeballs from his head.
Right.
They stuck him down in the dungeon, grinding with the donkeys, the grind mill that they used to break up the wheat and the corn. Just, a slave, not even a slave, an animal.
Yep.
Why? Because he said, well, I'm just going to shake myself and God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. And God said, I've had enough of your pride, Samson. I'm going to show you whose life this really is. He died. A slave. The Bible says that the Philistines brought him up into one of their parties, and they used him as a mockery to praise their god Dagon. They said, there's that Samson. There's that servant of God. Look over there. We got you. See, our God is greater than your God. Now, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is, listen, this. The world looks at Christians who will not obey God, who are giving into temptation every day, and they say, ha, look at you. what kind of God do you have? Your eyes are plucked out. You are a slave. You are a fool. You can't see the daylight. You don't know the difference between dark and day. And he didn't. His eyes were gone. Why? Because it was his life and he was going to live it his way. And they're laughing at him, man. They're making sport of him. That's what the Bible says. It's entertainment now. Look at that. There's that Samson. He's so strong and mighty. Our God got him. Look at that. No, their God did nothing to that. That had nothing to do with it. What happened was Samson gave in to the temptation that his life was his own to live.
Yep, that's right.
And listen to me today. This is nothing new.
Right.
The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, teenagers, the pride of life. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, you know what? You're tempting God. So nothing's happened to me yet. Go ahead.
Amen, brother. Come on, preach.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep on.
Uh-huh.
Nothing's happened to me yet, preacher.
Yep.
No, nothing happened to Samson either the first time, second time, third time.
Right.
But when he had his eyes gouged out, I guarantee you, he had second thoughts.
Uh-huh. That's right, brother.
I should have listened.
Mm-hmm.
I should have listened.
Amen. That's right.
You know, are you trying to scare me? I wish that you would fear God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
I wish you would fear God.
Amen.
You betcha I wish you would fear God. See, why do you... What do you mean? This is, Satan is doing the same thing today that he's ever done.
That's right.
Appealing to your flesh, your eyes, and your pride. Now, what are you going to do? I'm not Jesus. I can't fight it. Excuses.
Yep.
It is written.
Amen.
How do I fight him? Right here.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Then the Bible makes those wonderful words come to life. The devil ended all the temptation.
Amen.
For a season. But you know what happened? He got past it. He got through it. So can we. So can you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you bless your word today. Lord, that's the message. Lord, we have Old Testament examples. We have Jesus' life. We have our own examples. God, help us today. Stop giving in to the lust and the pride. God, help us today to see Satan for who he really is. That he has a will for our lives. Bless your people, Lord, please. Encourage the ones that are trying to live for you. That are fighting Satan. Help them, God, to realize they can't fight him. Outside of your word. God, give them real strength today. For those that are giving in to these temptations, Father, wherever they may be, whoever they may be. Father, help them to repent before it's too late. Before it's too late. Before everything they have is gouged out, burned away. And their lives are never, ever the same. And Lord, I pray for all of us, God, that we would not be ignorant of the devil's devices and what he's doing. Help these teenagers, these young people. Help us, all of us, God. But these teenagers, these young people, Lord, realize that they can win this battle. They can overcome these temptations. They can have victory. Oh, God, please bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you one quick question. If I died, if you died, ask yourself, if I died right now, if I fell over in this seat, would I really be in heaven? Would I be in heaven without a doubt? Do I know I've been saved the Bible way? See, the Satan asked Jesus every time he said, if, doubts. God doesn't give you doubts. Satan will give you doubts. Satan will make you doubt things. Satan will make you question everything about God's word. But listen to me. When it comes to salvation, you know whether or not Christ lives in you.
Amen.
You know whether or not Christ lives in you. You say, preacher, I know if I died right now, Christ lives in me, and I'd be in heaven. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Thank you. I can see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you. What a blessing. How about you this morning? Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. The devil's telling you all kinds of lies. He's making you think all kinds of things that aren't true. See, Jesus had all the power he needed, but he didn't use it. He simply spoke the word of God. What about you today? The word of God says you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you really saved? Do you have Christ in you? What are you really depending upon to get to heaven? Something you've done? This morning you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. All I want to do is pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. Would you slip your hand quietly up, put it right back down. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. Can I pray for you? Young man, young lady, sir, ma'am, can I pray for you? Would you just lift your hand up quietly, put it right back down. No one's looking but me. I just want to know how to pray. Was there one like that this morning? Just lift it up, put it right back down. Let me pray for you this morning. Those of you who are saved, where are you at? Are you believing the devil? You know, he's tempting your flesh, your eyes, and your pride. Where are you at this morning? Why don't you come to a humble realization that you're not the first one, and you won't be the last one, but you can win. You can win. Our Heavenly Father, bless your people now. I pray they'd answer your call. Those that need to repent, those that need to return, those that need to refresh their spirits, those that need to use this book, use this message, Lord God, to tell the devil to get behind me, get away from me, through the scripture, the power that we have in this book. Bless your word, please help us this morning, one and all. In Jesus' name we pray.